welcome to DIY Portland. I'm Julie Sabatier, and this is my monthly show on KBOO, focusing on revolutionary do-it-yourself projects. This month, we're exploring artists building community through shared creative space. We'll travel to three very different spaces where artists work together and, in one case, live together as well. Our first stop is a warehouse on Southeast Oak Street called The Egg. The Egg is a large open space shared by several artists ranging in age from their early 20s to their mid-40s, who work in a variety of different media. On Monday nights, the March 4th Marching Band practices here. For those of you who haven't run across them at an outdoor event this summer, the March 4th Marching Band is a collection of about 40 musicians, dancers, and stilt walkers who epitomize Portland's DIY performance art culture. The music at the top of the show is a little taste of March 4th, but their performance is a visually stunning experience that really can't be reproduced on the radio. Fashion designer and March 4th member Faith Jennings spends at least 40 hours a week at The Egg. She was nice enough to offer an audio tour of the place.
Welcome. We're standing now in the big open main floor common area, which is the March 4th Marching Band rehearsal space. On the west wall, we have the Launchpad Gallery, which there's no art on the wall because it's just setting up for the First Friday shows, but we have a First Friday opening every month with rotating artists, and that's curated by Ben Pink, whose mission is to give a forum of gallery space for emerging artists. Over there is a bathroom, and this room is one of the enclosed spaces that's used by a collage artist. And back here we have Smart Tech Audiovisual. It's a company that does event lighting and sound, and Clint Caster is the person who operates this whole business, and he also is kind enough to provide sound and lighting for all of our events here, which is a really nice addition to our space. Heading upstairs. So this whole area upstairs is undivided production space. Currently there's five businesses in here, and it's definitely geared more towards people who are already established in some sort of creative business endeavor rather than just kind of the hobbyist. I'm very supportive of people who do creative things as hobbies. The specific direction here that we're trying to go in is that more professional angle, and it's helpful because there are no walls and each person here is really dedicated to making their living off of their art. It does helps to foster that productive, hardworking energy. Ben Milam does Cyclical Designs, which is, he makes cuffs and jewelry out of recycled leather and bike parts. And so he kind of falls into the fashion category, but he's not actually making clothing. And then my business is recycled sweater garments and hats. And then Scarlett, who's one of the other renters, actually works for me and does costume design. And Brent is the one painter that we have in here, and being in an enclosed space, we don't have to worry about his paint traveling onto our fine fashions. For a long time, we resisted having painters here at all because it's messy. But when this room became available, it was great to rent it to a painter, and he's a really great addition to the space. This room belongs to Dan Stauffer, and he was one of the founders of The Egg. Dan uses this space for musical projects, and when this building was available and he had the finances at the time to kind of take a risk and establish it, and it wasn't a self-sustaining venture for probably about a year, so it was all financed out of pocket in the initial phase. This is our kitchen and office space. We have a shared internet connection that's used by community people who stop by, as well as the people who work here. And it's really nice to have a kitchen and shower and all of that stuff for, you know, a lot of the people who work here spend a lot of time here. So it's nice and homey. And lastly, this is the massage room. And we currently have two massage therapists who use the space, and we're moving towards potentially opening up some more space for practicing massage therapists to be able to use this room, which is a really great space for healing. This room is also used by the horn section on Monday nights when the band practices here. Unlike all the other spaces in the egg, the massage therapists don't pay an equivalent rent to essentially kind of own the room. The rent that they pay covers the actual time that they're using it, and then the rest of the time when they're not here, it's back to communal space and open to other people using it.
The marching band had been around for a few months and was in need of a rehearsal space around the same time that Dan Stauffer was scouting around for a property to realize his vision of a shared space for artists in Portland. Dan chose the warehouse on Oak Street with the band in mind, and they've been rehearsing here ever since. Faith and her fashion design business was also part of the Egg's core group from the beginning. She says having workspace outside of her home has enhanced her work ethic and helped her to feel like a part of a larger community of do-it-yourself artists who are making a living off of what they love.
My clothing line is called Flair, and I started that about 3.5 years ago. So I had been doing it for maybe 6 months before this space opened, and I was working in my basement. And I had been a self-employed person, or trying to be self-employed, for a couple of years before that as a Saturday market vendor. And I went through several different sort of products to try to figure out what people would buy and what I could actually make and what was sustainable. And I just kind of stumbled upon the sweater thing as a Christmas gift. I made one for my cousin, and she was totally psyched about it. And then my mother and my aunt and my grandma and all the women in my family were just like, oh, this is amazing. You've got to keep doing this. This is where it's at. I really took that to heart and got to work. I go to the Goodwill bins and get pounds and pounds and pounds of sweaters and wash them all, and then they sit on my racks until they inspire me. And I typically combine two or three sweaters into one finished garment. And my hat line, which is called, they're called Faith Hats. They're pretty popular. It's been a really great growth opportunity for all of the designers who work here. When you work in your basement, you're just kind of isolated, and productivity is not necessarily really easy because you have all the distractions of home. And so just getting into a space where we all, you know, interact on a daily basis, you know, we exchange ideas, we learn from each other, we share tools to some extent, you know, or borrow something if it's something I need. And we also share a lot of connections. You know, the stores that I sell to have started to carry Kirsten's stuff and vice versa. And, you know, we all kind of work together to help enhance each other's businesses. And then aside from that, there's, you know, there's a lot of exposure, especially now that Ben has started the Launchpad Gallery. We have a First Friday public event, and it usually doesn't cost money to get in on. And that brings a lot of foot traffic into our showroom space upstairs. And we typically make some sales on those nights. And so it definitely has a feeling of a lot of different groups coming together and contributing towards the space, but also helping one another to branch out and grow. And there's a very friendly, non-competitive atmosphere here.
Renters at the Egg, known as Eggshells, meet every 6 weeks or so to discuss issues relevant to everyone, such as access to the space, vacancies, new renters, or events.
We really are just a collective in the sense that we, you know, put together our own ideas of what needs to be done and then, you know, try to get it done. And we all make decisions together. And basically the people who don't show up to the meeting eliminate their right to, or their voice in it. I think the most gelled that we become as a group is when we throw events here as egg-sponsored events. We do actually rely on those parties to help pay for our utilities in the wintertime. It's a big, cold building, and it costs a lot of money to heat it. So, you know, a couple times a year we throw fundraisers for the Egg and do pretty elaborate, theme-oriented parties here. And typically there's outside volunteers of people who are not rent payers in the space who get involved and want to help out for those kinds of parties. But it also brings all the people who are established here into the fold. And, you know, the Egg community has hundreds of people in it, that just through all the events and all the, you know, Ben has done several group shows, so there's hundreds of artists who have had their work on the walls here, and there's, you know, people who've come to parties here and people who've volunteered on work days and friends of the marching band and friends of the massage therapists and all their clients and all the clients of the fashion designers. I mean, they're, because of the type of community that exists in Portland, you know, the people who feel a sense of inclusion at the Egg, whether or not they pay anything to be a part of it, I think is pretty wide.
You're listening to DIY Portland, and that was the March 4th Marching Band. This month, the show is exploring artists sharing space and building community. The next stop is the Artistery on Southeast Division Street. The Artistery is a moderately sized house where 9 musicians and artists share studio space. There's a large basement for events and a small residential space next door. Aaron Shepard is a musician and sound artist. He has a recording studio in the basement, and he also serves as facilitator for the Artistery. He explained that the name came from the original founder, Peter Jenkins, who combined the words artist and monastery and came up with Artistery.
It started out as a spiritual creative program, which was based in Protestant Christianity through this church called Imago Dei. It's a Protestant church here in Portland still. And basically it was 5 Christian male artists live together for a year, commit their lives to for a year, and they would go through different disciplines and challenges, to help their life. Anyway, it was kind of a cool deal for what it was, and then Peter decided to not do it anymore, and I decided to take it over, but that wasn't really my vision. I really didn't have the heart for that type of thing. And so it became a little more broad, and we've been sort of molding it ever since for the past about 2.5 years or so, changing a lot. I mean, we have women here. It's not a Christian organization. We sort of parted ways with that church. We decided that it just didn't make any sense for us to be doing that if our hearts weren't exactly in it that way.
Aaron says that while the Artistery is no longer a religious organization, a lot of his personal inspiration as both an artist and a community organizer comes from his Christian faith.
I believe the life of Jesus was about people and about loving people. And it just makes sense in my life. I love art and I want to support art, but I think relationships are more important. We do a lot of things together. We eat dinners together and hang out a lot, and so it's a lot about still about intentionally being together in each other's lives. I feel it's really important for us to go through life together and take on each other's crap. I like it when somebody's around for me when I'm going through something rough. I don't believe people should go through their lives alone.
The Artistery has studio space and shared common areas in the upstairs part of the house, while the basement is mostly devoted to events. Since they do not currently have a liquor license, it has become one of the more affordable all-ages venues in Portland. Everyone who rents studio space at the Artistery is required to work at least a couple of events every month. Here's Aaron with a tour of the basement.
This space is our open venue space. That is one of our walls that we do, we hang work on, and sort of primitive, I guess. I didn't really know what I was doing when I put it up, so I don't think it's ideal for everything, but actually we've made it work really well. Oh, and then we have a dark room over here. This dark room space, like all the stuff was donated to us, but right now we don't have really anybody using it. And then there's a back here, the movie room. Actually, there might be somebody watching a movie. Oh yeah.
What are you watching?
Get Leon or something?
Some foreign film.
I just got a projector. I'm really excited. And then this movie screen comes down. But it's still pretty jerry-rigged around because I got to bring the thing out and or whatever. So it's not... The space isn't, like, totally set up for everything. It's kind of set up for anything.
Aaron said that while the venue space has been popular with people in the community who enjoy seeing shows for $5 or less, it wasn't so popular with the Portland Fire Marshal.
About 3 months ago, the Fire Marshals came through here during one of our really busy shows and basically kind of shut us down for a little while until we fixed some things, but they were really, really nice. And we worked with them, and over the course of about 2 months, we got everything back. It was funny how the buzz got around really quick that the Fire Marshal was here. And we talked with some of the bands, and you know, they volunteered their time to come help us with fundraising and stuff like that. And we made enough money from fundraising to get all the stuff done that we needed to get done. It was rad. I was really, really pretty touched by it, that we're kind of part of this community and we're important enough to people that they'll come out and support.
A little sample of Aaron Shepherd's song stylings called I Want to Kiss You. You're tuned to DIY Portland, where we're exploring shared artistic space. Our next stop is the Clown House on Northeast Alberta Street. The clowns have become a mainstay at Alberta Street's Last Thursday Art Walk event, where they perform vaudeville-style circus shows in their front yard. You may have seen them breathing fire, performing feats of strength and sketch comedy, or jousting on the tall bikes they build here at the house. Dingo and Caffeine Jones are the nexus of this space, which is devoted to artists living and working together. They also run a business out of the house, selling wheat-free dog snacks to area coffee shops and other places where people tend to bring their dogs. Here's Dingo.
We have three shows. We have the one is called the Field Show, which is the kind of show that we would take basically a bicycle rodeo with that's mostly clowning. And we do it at fairs and giant places that are big, like arenas, in front of hundreds of people, all ages. And then we have the Last Thursday show, which is here at the house every last Thursday of the month, where we try out new acts and try out new people. And there's a lot of people walking up and down the street, so we typically bottleneck the street right in front of our place because that's where all the action is. And we have mud wrestling. And then we have... the nightclub act, which is called the Feral Clown Show, which is burlesque. So it's it doesn't have the giant bikes or anything, but it has sideshow stunts, 10-in-1 stunts, sometimes music, butts and boobies and dirty jokes, all done by clowns. The original plan was to stash a political message in a whole bunch of hilarious comedy, because we were going to a lot of protest events. And everything was preachy and angry. And I wanted to also fire the boss. Like, make our living doing our art and music rather than making somebody else's dream come true. Is basically what the original motive is. And then it turned into free bike shop, classes in everything from yoga to screen printing to pirate radio. And pretty much everything in DIY culture we've had our hand in at one time or another. We've been around for almost 10 years, and the faces always change. I think we're a phase in people's lives, which is fine with me.
Pinga the clown has been living in the house since last fall. He's originally from Brazil, where he first started living in communal situations with other artists.
I've lived in Brazil. I live in a community like this, and we're all like
friends already, and then we decided to create our own artist commune house. And it was really fun. We had capoeira, dance classes, music classes for other people to come and join. We did a lot of screen printing, painting too. So it was like a very busy house all the time. And we got along pretty well because we were friends too. Yeah, but this is the first like experience with people that I'd never met before. I mean, it's really good to live like in a place where everyone is doing inspiring things. They're all artists, so you can see what they're doing and then get inspired. I started actually to paint again after like Dingo every day would come and like, hey, see what I did, see what I did. And then I was like, all right, I want to do that too. And then I started to paint. And yeah, that's how it goes. So it's kind of like a big artist family.
Because they live and work out of their home, the clowns are pretty entrenched in their space and the community around them. Dingo and Caffeine's six-month-old baby boy and their eight-year-old daughter are similarly insulated in clown culture. Again, Dingo the clown.
The eight-year-old is, she's homeschooled. We have the homeschool collective here. And so she doesn't know what the real world looks like, really. She just knows what it's like living in a clown house. And she's never been in a 7-Eleven. She's never been in a Walmart. And we're car-free. So she goes everywhere on foot or on a bike. And so I'm trying to think of intriguing ways to show her how everybody else lives. So she's not surprised.
Dingo and Caffeine have their hands full with their own kids, and they're not looking to play parents to the younger crowd of people who are attracted to life at the clown house. They've come up with an interesting system to preserve order in a non-hierarchical structure.
Will said, why don't you just have a hat and it says the man on it? And then when somebody has to, you know, you have to talk to them about something, then you put on the hat and then you take the hat off. And I was like, that is brilliant. So we looked around. The first hat we saw was this big sombrero that says Jose Cuervo on it. And then he wrote the man on there. And then it was great. The first time I tried the man hat, I tried it on him. And I put on the hat and I went up and I said, okay, here's the thing. Your bag was open and your stuff's all over the place. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he so the next day he sees the man hat hanging on the wall and he thinks to himself, oh, did I pick up my stuff? And he went and checked to make sure he picked up his stuff. And then he came and told me about it. It was really exciting because then the man hat is carrying that reminder, you know, that big brother, someone's, you know, did you clean up after yourself? And it doesn't have to be me. So we can all sort of take turns sharing the responsibilities and sharing the benefits of power, I think.
At 34 and 37, respectively, Caffeine and Dingo have been working on developing this community structure for over a decade now, whereas many of their age peers are no longer living in group housing situations, let alone working in them.
Sometimes I wonder why I'm still doing it. It's really, really hard. We don't have any language for how to communicate with each other, you know, non-judgmentally and anarchically and all that. It's experimental and it's, you know, it can be really challenging. I think the reason that we do it is because this is the world that we want to live in. And this is the reason I do it anyway. I want to live in a world where people understand that we're stronger, we're more effective, and we're better when we're working together. And whatever difficulties that creates, it's worth muddling through.
We'll be right back. That just about wraps up the show. You've been listening to DIY Portland, and I'm Julie Sabatier. I'd like to thank all the artists who opened up their spaces and graciously donated their time to be a part of the show. If you want to visit The Egg for their First Friday gallery events, you can find them at 534 Southeast Oak Street in Portland. If you'd like to learn more about the Artistary, you can find them on the web at www.artistary.net. That's artistery.net. And don't forget to check out the Last Thursday show at the Clown House on Alberta Street. They're on the block between 24th and 25th, right by the Starry Rose Coffee Shop. Just look for the yard with tall bikes and a mud pit. Thanks for joining me for another edition of DIY Portland. This show is on the third Thursday of the month at 10 a.m. on KBOO Community Radio, and it's also available via iTunes Podcasts. To learn more, visit www.myspace.com/JulieOnTheRadio. Tune in next month for a show about the low-power radio station barn raising in Woodburn, Oregon.